Session number 23352, Harry Minard's Reels 3 and 4. Left channel informant mic only, right channel interviewer's mic.
Mr. Minard's Reel 3, we were talking about your time in the Koang San area, around about Hill 355, from October to November 1951. And you were talking about when the Chinese opened up a bombardment on Hill 355, or rather on the KOSB position. You were interrupted when the tape went off. You just tell that story again of what you said.
From where? And I said to my mate by Waters, I said, God, I said, that lot don't start coming over here. Within a couple of minutes, we were being shelled all over us. I could remember seeing them dropping round us. And the next thing we heard...
Now, what was that like? Explain what that was like for you. What did
terrified
you do?
Terrified. Because only in the National Service, never seen anything like it before. Just seeing the shells dropping on the hill in front of us was bad enough. And hearing the bugles playing and the bullets going off and the guns going off and shooting and that. And then to have a shell drop right next to you... was very frightening, being young soldiers.
So what were you actually doing? You were just lying in your...
We were just standing in the trench, waiting to see if anything... You know, if they broke through there, the next place they was coming through here. But lucky enough, the King's Own Scottish Border held them off until early morning. I believe then I think it was the Leicesters went up.
There was a counterattack, yes.
Yeah, by the Leicesters.
On the 5th. Did you see that?
Yeah, you could see that. Because I used to... After the Battle of the King's Own Scottish Borders, in the morning, we went out. I went out on patrol with a couple of with an officer, and seeing a few more people to look for any wounded or dead. And we used to go along through our A Company across the hills, and where all the smoke and that were, we used to have a look for anybody that was wounded or.
What do you remember of that patrol?
Can remember. The smell as you went along there with all the sulphur and everything, just looking for people. And on the way back, we did find two, and we brought them back to our lines.
What state were they in?
But more shock than anything, I think. But it must have been terrible for those that was actually on that hill, because we will speak more than the Victoria Cross, and I can't tell you the figures how many got wounded and killed.
Did you actually see the Leicesters attack, or did you just know about it?
Well, we could just see them a bit in the... Because we was on the side of 355. They was going up on our left to take it up. You could hear them and see some of it. And they done a good job as well, the Leicesters.
And what happened then? What's the next thing you remember?
Well, I can remember it went on all through the night, and the next day we had to stand two, and there was no one on and one off. It was all stand two all night, and for about three nights, and you just waited and hoped that they didn't get through to you. But as luck happened, they held them.
So you were still just in two-man slit trenches. You hadn't joined them together at all to make it...
Not that I can remember. We may have done. I'm not going to say, because I can't remember.
So then, what happened then? Because they pulled out, didn't they? And they went to Sami Chon.
Yeah, I can remember we went to the Sami Chon Valley, and that was a valley over. We was on the hills, just looking down to the Sami Chon Valley, and you could see I think it was the Indian River. I can't remember.
It's Sami Chon.
Sami Chon River, right along in the distance. We was right in the top of the hill, my section. I was then drafted into 8th Platoon, because I think 8th Platoon lost one of their NCOs, and I was in with Tony Tell then, when we went to...
Now, what were your first impressions of Tony Tell? He was just a young officer then. I'm thinking of what you thought of him then, before you really knew him. What was your first impression of him?
Well, he was like any officer. I think he was like any other officer. He was the officer you had a boy. He come from one of these Sandhurst colleges. He was there as a young man. He was the one that was controlling everything. But over the time you were with him, he was a good bloke.
In what way? What was good about him? What marked him out for you?
Well, he was like Tom Henson. They had time for you. They had time for you, and if you hadn't probably, you could see him, and I got on very well with Tony. I want the best of soldiers. I bet he told you. I was one of the scruffiest soldiers a lot. But out there, dress didn't come into it.
And did you have a platoon sergeant?
Yeah, but I can't think what his name was.
Bell?
No, he was a regimental sergeant major, Dinger Bell. Dinger Bell was a company sergeant major. He was a right old so-and-so, but there again, he was an old soldier that had been in the war. So you listen to him. When things got tough, there was another one that's in Chelsea Barracks now, a Jock Starr. He was another old soldier. And they were the one you looked, I think you looked towards more the older people in them days when you were in that situation, because they'd been through it in the last war.
And so, and Company Sergeant Major Bell was like that.
Yeah.
Were you aware of Fit at the time?
Winky Fit? Yeah. No, because Winky Fit was in, I think it was in Battalion HQ, so I didn't see him.
What about the RSM? It's just gone out of my head. Gilchrist, sorry about that.
No, I never see Gilchrist because he was in a different company or Battalion HQ. All I know, all we were with was Major Holden.
That's your C Company commander. What did you think of Holden? Tell us about him.
Brilliant man. A great, great soldier. He was a good, caring soldier. I think he was too good of a gentleman to be a soldier. He was a gentleman, but he was still a good soldier. And he's the sort of person you'd go with. Because as we got in touch with him, tried to get in touch with him, he just passed on, and Keith spoke to his wife.
That's now, yeah. I'm talking about then, really, you know.
Oh, yes, he was a very good soldier. He was one of them that used to come and visit you. If there were trouble brewing, he'd be the first one there. He didn't sit in his little dugout and hide. He was out with the men until he broke his leg. By Tony Tell.
Sorry?
By Tony Tell, when they were doing practicing unarmed combat. When he broke, Major Holden fell and broke his leg and he had to come back.
What were the defensive positions like in the Samichon? I mean, were they a bit more sophisticated? Had they started joining trenches up?
We had trenches running down the hill, and from each one, you went from one to another. So if you had trouble with one of your sections, you could run to them along the trenches. But I think a lot of them were there before we got there.
And what about the dugouts?
We used to build our own dugouts.
Tell me about that. How would you
build
the dugout?
We used to build a trench. After we built the trench, we used to dig a big piece out behind us and leave a little bit in it so you got like a bed. And then we used to get bits of wood and sandbags and anything that go on top. And because it was minus 20 and 30 in the winter time, we used to get old ammunition tins, old fruit cans, and make an ammunition box, cut a bit out, make a fire. Then we used to stick chimneys on it and get wood and burn it to keep us warm in the winter.
So they were quite sophisticated dugouts.
Oh, we were good. They were warm, very warm. And we used to have C7 rations.
Tell me a bit more about the cold. How big a problem was the cold?
Very bad, because we hadn't got no equipment. The biggest laugh I think we had, we always used to remark about it later life. They come back one day and they said, right, we're getting some special winter kit. And they come out with string vests and long johns. And the only difference between them long johns and the ones we used to have at home was they had to split up the front and split up the back. And split up the back because it was so cold and frost, every time he went to the door, he had to close it quick. And that was the extra clothing that we had.
There's nothing else, is there?
No, just the old battle dresses and the kit you had, and anything you can pinch off the Yanks.
So how cold was it? How bad was it?
I can remember taking a patrol out once across the Samichon Valley with Denny Thompson. Peter Bartram says he remembers it. Charlton and one more, and we had to, the listening patrol, we had to go through the minefield.
Now hang on, since we're on it, so what was a listening patrol? Explain what it was.
Well, you just had to go lie aside the river and listen to see what was going on the other side of the river, because the enemy was on the other side of the river.
Now, who you'd be in charge of this?
Yeah, I used to.
How many would you take out?
Three or four of us.
And how would they be equipped and armed?
Just a rifle or stain gun or whatever weapons you had.
And what was yours?
Mine was a stain gun. And we used to get a little drop of rum to keep us warm.
And how would you plan it? I mean,
well, you'd go in to see the platoon commander, and he used to tell you what you had to do, and you used to go and do it and lay there all night in the cold. Minus 32 when my patrol fell out.
And what was it like doing
bloody
that?
Bloody cold. Just laying there, not, because, you see, because there was snow on the ground as well, you used to have two suits, a white suit and your battle dress type. And if you went along and then your order couldn't come round the hill and there was snow, you had to put this snow suit on all white, so you blend in with it. Then when you got to the other side, you had to take it off again, so they couldn't see you.
And did anything ever happen on the listening on this listening
well,
job? I mean, what could you hear?
Well, quite often when we used to go, we could see the enemy on the other side of the river. One time we see them coming picking bits of wood up the other side of the river. So I imagine they was as cold as we were. And any movement, we had to report back to Major Holden.
And what about any other types of patrols? Did you? I mean, at that time, we're talking about winter. Any fighting patrols or?
I did go on them because our section was more or less in front, and they couldn't take the front away and leave the others there. So Tony Tell should have took out the patrol what Tony Ensign done, but Tom Ensign said, "No, I'll take that out." And he took it out with his platoon, 7 platoon, instead of us. Otherwise, we would have went on that one.
And that's the one where they got ambushed.
Yes, he got ambushed. Which Tom, would, I suppose, explained all
I
about
I think he's
that.
Probably done that, yeah. I know he's been interviewed from...
Because Lance Corporal Braun, as I said, lives up the road here, and I'll put him on to him.
Now, what about... what about a typical day, then, in the trenches on the Samichon? What time would your day start?
Well, sometimes you used to stand to all night. Sometimes one...
Now, explain what stand to is for people.
Well, stand
what
to...
What would you all do?
In standing in your trench. Just wait. And I was caught, we used to get to go down and see how everything was all right. But there were two types of stand to. One where one could kip, and the other stand... Sometimes, if during the day, you could both kip because nothing was going on. But a full stand to it meant you both stood. You both never went to sleep. You stood in your trenches.
And would you be looking over the top or just ready?
No, you're standing there looking over the top of your trench, waiting to see what's happening.
So after stand to, what then?
Well,
typical day, you know.
Typical day, doing things, just picking up bits of wood to try and keep warm or... Cleaning your weapons, making sure everything was clean.
Was it difficult to keep the weapons clean? I mean, what was your cleaning weapons routine? I mean, how?
Well, you used to try and keep them clean, but it wasn't the cleaning so much as the cold affected them, I think, more than anything. Because your hands were so cold, you couldn't do a lot with them. For half the time, they were frozen. Your hands were frozen. So you just cleaned them as best you could.
And which parts would you clean? Cleaning the barrel or what?
Well, no, you used to strip it down and clean the whole lot to make sure it worked. Because they all used to impress upon you, even in going back to your 10 weeks training. Keep your weapon clean. Keep your weapon clean.
And why? I mean,
because if you'd kept it dirty, you wouldn't bloody well use it, would it?
It wouldn't fire.
I think when you look back on it, and that Sergeant Drake was drumming everything in your head, you'd call him a right bastard. What you think then? Is what you had done was right. He drummed it in there, look out your weapon. So all your 10 weeks training come, although we only had 10 weeks, it all come together when you were out in Korea.
And you appreciated it then?
Oh yeah, I think you appreciate what you were taught then. You didn't at the time, but when there were shells dropping around you, you realised it was time to keep your weapon clean. And if you went on a patrol, I can remember, because when we went on patrols, I went on with Denny Thompson once, and on the way back, when we got to our line, we used to clear our weapons.
What do you mean clear them?
Just take the bullets out and just click them. And he left the arm room both, and he clicked it, and the bullet went and just missed his foot. But
Now, so we're going through a typical day. So you clean your weapons. What about food, your breakfast?
We used to live on the C-7s, American C-7 rations. 24-hour packs.
And what were they like? What was in them and what were
all
they like?
All good. They had meat and noodles, corned beef, hash. They had three tins of meat, a little fire to cook it on, just chewing gum, a red stick of candy, a bar of chocolate, and a D-Rex. Why the hell we needed them bugs, I'll never know.
A what?
A D-Rex.
A Durex?
Yeah, you used to have them in a packet and all. Oh, and 20 camel fags.
Now, did you smoke?
No. Oh, it's a slog mine.
And you like the US rations?
No, yeah.
You like them better than the British rations?
Well, the British rations were rubbish.
Why? What was...
Dry biscuits and whatever you got out of.
And would you weren't getting them? No,
we were getting the American rations.
But they were better?
Oh, 10 times better, yeah. 10 times better. So even Tony Blair wouldn't eat the American rations.
So what about in the morning then? What would you do? You had your breakfast, say. What would you do in the morning?
Anything, just... really do nothing, because there was nothing to do. We used to do a bit of training, go back. We used to have church services, and when people got killed, we always just go back to a little church service just round the corner.
Tell us about them then.
Well, when the three got killed, there was Scott, Smith and Brown.
When was that?
On Tom Henson's patrol.
Which was? The date.
Well, God, I've got daddy no dates.
Right.
When so Tom went on patrol, they three got killed, because two of them were personal friends of mine, especially Brown. Brown come from Dagenham. He was a personal friend of Lance Corporal Smith, come from Shenley.
So tell us about the service. What was it like?
Well, we just had a service with Major Holden, the chaplain, come down, as I remember. And all the few of us, we can all go. Half of us had to stay in a position, and half of us used to go to the church service. And it was a very moving service when you lose some of your friends. Two of them, as I said, Lance Corporal Smith lived in a little village called Shenley, near Milton Keynes. Because I took when some people went back, I took a photo of his grave and took it to his mum.
But we were talking about what people would do during a normal day. I mean, a burial service would be a rarity, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get parcels and letters from home? Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, occasionally you used to get... No, I can't remember getting a parcel.
Well, letters then.
Letters. We used to get letters occasionally, but I can't remember how many or how often.
And were they important when they arrived?
Oh, yes, yeah. Everybody used to look for mail.
And who'd write to you?
Me mum.
What about the rest of...
Well, my sister, but nobody else, just me mum and my sister.
And what would she write about? Why was it so important?
Well, she used to write about what was going on in the village and how much longer we're going to be there. Oh, you knew more about the village gossip when I was out there than I did when I got back.
And what about, did you write back?
Oh, yeah, we used to get the mail things.
And what would you write about? Because it's a bit more difficult.
Oh, you weren't allowed to write about a lot.
So what did you write about?
You told a lot of lies to start with.
In what way?
Oh, you wouldn't tell them what you were doing, what was actually happening. You just tell them there's a little bit of trouble and... I'm doing all right and everything's going all right and don't worry, there's nothing really to worry about. You never used to tell them the truth. If you told them the truth, they'd worry more.
And what about anything else you'd be doing during the day? What were your job as a corporal during the day?
Well, going around keeping the men cheerful.
How would you do that?
Tell them dirty jokes. And just had to think, when the Cockneys come, there was Nobby Singleton, Jimmy Lague and Ginger Cox. Now, Ginger Cox we can't find, he come from Pimlico. He was a right Cockney boy. And Joe Lowe, we used to sit there. I used to get an old tin with an old leaves, and I used to bash out on the drums and make out we were on the drums. We used to sit there singing all the old Cockney songs. We used to love that, every good old sing song.
So you got on well with the men?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any I didn't get on with.
And what else would you do during the day? Any other?
Oh, just things in general, so I can't remember. It's so long ago.
What about, the latrines? Where were the latrines?
Well, you dug an old end of back bottom of the building and done what you got to do. Sometimes
at the bottom of the building?
Bottom of the Bottom of the hill, sorry. Yeah, bottom of the hill. You just dug an hole, done what you got to do, and that was it. Sometimes you...
But they didn't have organised latrines. I mean, you know, with a pole and...
Oh, yeah, you used to have a pole over it and sit on the pole, but sometimes if we found some old tins, we used to build a tin building and have an hole in there, but that was more dangerous than the enemy, because every time you went in there, everybody used to throw stones at it. And it was damn sight the more dangerous in there than it were when the Chinese come over.
So they're fairly primitive latrines.
Oh, well, just dug an hole in the ground. And the reason we had them slits up, because it was if you went at 3 o'clock in the morning where it was about 30 degrees, you had to close it quick, because you had an icicle.
And what about bathing? Showers or baths?
You didn't. We invented one.
Tell us about that.
I can't remember. I didn't invent it. I can't think who did. It was Company HQ invented it.
Was it with a mobile bath?
No. You just got a bit of water and had a wash when you could. We used to go weeks without having a wash. We used to have feet inspections regular.
Hang on, with the washing, did that lead to lice?
I can't remember having anything like that. I can't remember having anything like that.
Just a matter. What about shaving?
Yeah, you get a shaving, cold water mostly. Sometimes you can get hot it up on your little fire in your trench.
You were expected to shave, though?
No, I don't think we were expected to shave. Them that did. Sometimes you do 2 or 3 days' growth. Sometimes then they'd come around and say, right, shave. That's too bad, you know, but they didn't expect you to shave every morning.
Now tell me about foot inspection. Who would do the foot inspection?
The officer. Tony Towell, or sometimes a regiment, sometimes a sergeant.
What were they looking for?
Well, sore feet, trench feet, or anything sores underneath your feet.
And they'd really look at everybody's?
Oh, everybody's toes, yeah. Look at everybody's feet. Yeah.
And were there many problems?
Occasionally people had problems, you see, because you used to sleep with your shoes on, sleep with your boots on. Sometimes you didn't take them off for weeks. Sometimes you didn't take your clothes off for weeks.
Did you have any problems?
No.
But why not, do you think?
I don't know.
Just lucky.
Yeah. But, as I said, we used to go weeks and weeks without having a wash, weeks and weeks without taking your clothes off.
Anything else about the time of the Samichon?
I remember them talking about a patrol.
There was a patrol that Towell took out with Atkins and Brooks and the Royal Engineer officer, but that wasn't one with you.
No. Brooks, Atkinson, Tony Towell. No, I went out on patrol sometimes with another corporal, Stollery. He used to go out on Stollery. When he passed away, I wrote him a little note because I couldn't go because I was not well enough, and Ginger wrote, and Stollery used to say about the time we went through this little village.
Now tell me about the whole story. Well, this is on the Samichon.
Yeah.
Now tell me about the patrol.
We went out on a patrol, and we were going by this old village. And old Stollery said, oh, go look at that village. They went and looked in that village, and all of a sudden he came out riding on an old bike. And everybody laughed. And then he went back in, and he come out, and he found an old catapult. In the last of the roof, and when he passed away last year, he still got that old catapult in his house.
And how do you spell Stollery? Sorry,
Stollery. Stollery. T O W E R S T O L E R Y.
Double L.
Yeah, Stollery.
And anything else happened on that patrol, or was it just...
Just a general...
No contact, it was just a bit of fun.
Yeah, recce patrol, yeah. So I said we used to go on lots of patrols, and 90% of the time nothing happened. The time that did happen, it was bad. I was lucky that I went on patrols, which nothing really did go bad.
You were one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
How about, you were in the line at Christmas, I think.
No.
Oh, really? Carry on then.
Just before Christmas, when did that patrol get shot up? No, about a fortnight before Christmas, I got Major Holden, and I was sent back to Pusan to a place called, I think it was Haramira in Japan, to go a training course, and I was there over Christmas.
Now, why were you in Holden sent on a training course?
No, Holden, I went with a couple more.
Oh, sorry. Well, what was the training course for? It seems a bit
to do more to do with taking patrols out.
Tell us about the course then.
Well, it was to do with just general training, more training. And we used to learn more of different things.
What sort of things?
About 3 weeks. We were there for about 3 weeks.
What sort of things were you learning of?
You know, more... What's a bit to say? Going more into the depth of learning, patrols and that sort of thing. I was there for about 3 weeks.
You don't remember what you did at all?
No, I can't remember. It's so long ago. Somebody just come in.
And so what happened next then? Then it was around about Christmas.
I was there for Christmas. Then I went back straight after Christmas, back to join the unit. Then when Tom Henson's patrol got took, shot up, I went back again.
That's 3 months later.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything
happened in between that? It's just general things that happen. You know, just general run of the mill. Some nights were quiet, sometimes wasn't quiet.
And but you don't remember anything in particular?
No.
And you weren't on the Henson's patrol, which is in March.
No.
That's 3rd of March.
No. But when they got wounded, I went with them to Tokyo, to the hospital, took them to the hospital on a boat. Because Lance Corporal Braun reminded me of that, and I'd forgot.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, I can't remember much about it. I know that I went on this boat with them, and looking after them, and then when I got there, a friend of mine, they were in Keary Hospital, and I see a friend of mine, Tom Ward, and he was already in hospital, and I also see a Sergeant Reimer, who got wounded on 355, and he was sitting in a wheelchair because he had shell shock.
Now, so you were there, you were in the line in the Sammy Chon from November to March, 52.
Yeah, the whole battalion.
And then they came back...
To 355.
Well, first they went to the reserve position.
That's right.
So what do you remember about, what was it like at Peacock Hills in the reserve position? What were you doing?
I can remember a football match where we played an inter-battalion football match.
Who with?
With the rest of the Norfolk, each platoon, and each company had a football team, and I was captain of the football team. Tony Tell, Tony Tell presented the prize. We won it from the final 3-0 against A Company. And
did you have a proper ground and everything?
No, we made our own ground. We made our own ground, took some sticks up for the goalpost, levelled a bit of ground off as best we could. Because it was Tony Tell's team that won the final. Whether he remembers that, he might have thought he should do. Nobby Single and Joe Brooks played centre forward. Nobby Single was inside right. I was outside left. Scam, he's another one from Southend. Ford. Bill Perrin, the late Bill Perrin, he was in the goalkeeper.
Okay, now, and after that, that's all you remember. And then he went back into the line.
Yes.
In the Coang Sam, the Hill 355.
355, that's all we know it as.
Now, what were your positions like there? Had they changed a bit?
Well, just before we went back to 355, I was near enough due to come home. And I went on my 5-day leave in Tokyo.
Oh, tell us about that then.
No, I don't.
Well, tell us what you can tell us. We don't want to pry.
No. We had 5 days leaving Tokyo. When we got there, we went into the hotel and we got in there. You got a ticket, and you got the ticket for 30 bottles on a tray of beer. And me and my mate, who I went back with, we bought a tray each and sat there and drunk a tray each. Then we went out, find ourselves a woman for the week, and that was it.
Okay, and...
They should read between the lines then.
They can
I've got a photo of her here anyway, so...
That'll do. So, then did you rejoin the unit in the line?
Well, I only rejoined them for about 2 days, because when I went back after, it was time for us to come back home.
Your time expired?
My time had expired, so they said, oh, you need to go back up to 355. I said, look, a lot of my friends are still up there. I am going up there, and when I got up there, they were being shelled a lot again on 355. But I went up and said, cheerio, all them that were left, and then come back.
So it's just a goodbye. How did you feel about leaving?
You didn't. You didn't want to leave them, but again, you didn't want to be there any longer.
So you left round about late May? Or
well, when the we got back in England early September.
So you weren't there when they went on that patrol?